Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and more special than the rest of us. In other words, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Welcome to episode 90, Crazy Quarantine Crap and Shutdown Shit. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone to go to Amazon to download my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills, where the book is on sale at 45% off until the nationwide quarantine is lifted. I believe there's only a few states left, and even the ones that have quarantine lifted, it's only partially lifted. So, that being said, until the whole nation is 100% able to live their lives like pros, that discounted rate applies. You can also email me, lou@lousantini.com. Find me on Instagram, lousantini3. Find me on Twitter, lousantini. Subscribe to my YouTube page. And most importantly, if you have a comment, a question, or a criticism, whatever, call the Amateur Nation hotline, 818-351-9263. All right, all that business out of the way. I want to thank everyone for joining me here. Next week will be the 10th anniversary of the quarantine-related podcast episodes. Think about that. That'll be 70 days of podcast information based on the quarantine, the shutdown, the coronavirus, etc. And I've already started listening to the very first episode that I did. I had a guest, Miyoko Rifkin, was my last guest back on March 15th. I haven't had a guest since. Hopefully, I just saw her the other day. She'll be back on the show for sure. Before I get started on the three topics, just last week, I mentioned how now the attention whore amateurs are so fast to social media to tell you of someone they know, whether it's a close relative and a friend or not, could have been a friend of a guy I knew next to my neighbor that died from coronavirus, usually with the sentiment, it's real. Number one, I and the rest of the world already knew the coronavirus was real. Two, you want to talk about ego and selfishness, you only acknowledge that it's real or post something that it's real on social media after you know someone that had it and died, especially after it's someone that you casually know but weren't even close to? That's callous. That's cold. Way to bring that attention back to yourself, by the way. And three, if you think you're mentioning that to show your empathy and compassion, and most hypocritically concerned for your fellow man, then you, sir or madam, are an amateur first rate. I'm not saying don't feel empathy and compassion, but this is just another case of virtue signaling. Where was this post when someone you know died of cancer, drunk driving, HIV, diabetes, heart disease, and/or obesity? Well, I didn't know anyone who died of heart disease. Oh, so I guess it's not important then, all of a sudden. It only matters when it affects you, amateurs. And by the way, affects you and know of are entirely different things. My heart goes out to people who have lost loved ones from the coronavirus, but also, oh, I don't know, any other reason. As I mentioned last week, a good friend of mine that I know through comedy had her mother die in a horrible car accident and died of head trauma. My heart goes out to her. She's an only child. I'm an only child. Her mom's her best friend. My mom's my best friend. And that one hit me kind of hard. But it affected me to a certain degree. But it didn't affect my life. And you amateurs that know someone who knows someone or even had a close relative die from it, while it affects your mental state and your emotions, it should not affect the way you live and going on with your life. The same way if that person died of any other reason. I hate the idea of thinking that my loved ones, my mom, my dad, my friends, myself will die. It sucks. We don't like to talk about it. But you have to admit, we're all thinking about it a hell of a lot more than before. But don't act like it brought your business, your household, your life, your social life, your sex life, your day-to-day life, your job, your career to a screeching halt. Because the only way that happens is if you let it. Now, I literally just talked about this last week. I put up a post that you will later hear on this episode. And sure enough, I'll call her an acquaintance. She went on the attack, mentioning how people in her life have died and lost limbs, basking in the grotesqueness of it all. And for the record, she called me an amateur, obviously using it incorrectly. Because people think amateurs now is a substitute for any name-calling word. Oh, you idiot, you amateur, you asshole, you amateur, your choice. No. There's a world of difference between an asshole and an amateur. And the best way to remind yourself, well, what makes an amateur, Lou? It's in the book. I mentioned it here. Let's review. It's an equation. Stupid plus obnoxious times rude divided by entitled plus inconsiderate. And you only need a minimum of two of those to be an amateur. Any two. One just won't get it done. You can just be inconsiderate but still be a pro. You had a moment of being inconsiderate. You can act like you're entitled. You can act rudely. You can act obnoxious. You can act stupid like humans do. But once you start combining at least two of those, you start getting into amateur territory. And the more factors of that equation, the higher degree of amateur you are. But this person just felt the need to call me an amateur based on a post that I put up on Facebook that you will hear about later. No name calling, just my opinion, and I have no problem taking the hits, getting opinions, even being called an amateur, even though it's used incorrectly. I can take it. Whatever, man. You just showed who you are. My post was a satirical, humorous post on social media. Once again, a response that is supposed to make me feel cold, callous, and unfeeling. I can be sensitive and caring while still being logical and reasonable. I can be concerned about the coronavirus and public health and my own health without living in fear, worrying about what could kill me lurking around the corner. I can live in a world where, yes, people die, been through it quite a few times, as a matter of fact, without standing still hoping something, anything, doesn't happen to me. No one wants to die, especially a slow, painful death. I know I don't. We have a lot to lose. We liked our lives. We still like our lives, we hope. Our friends, our families, our careers, our jobs, our possessions, travel, food, trying new things, experiencing new things, social gatherings, big and small. Five people on your patio having a cookout, 500,000 people at a concert, sporting event. So if you have so much to lose, why not choose to live your life? I'm not saying be reckless, but waiting for the government or these experts or your state governors to warn you about touching fucking tennis balls, no joke, or dry sand versus wet sand, avoiding carpet and paint, all true, by the way, not making those up, or closing down certain businesses, but not others, and they just arbitrarily decide what's essential and what's not, well, you won't have a life to get back to if this keeps up. Whatever happened to, life goes on. I will not live in panic mode. Admittedly, I did that for a day or two, by week one or two. Once you see the shelves empty at the grocery store and watching people literally say in the grocery store, I mentioned this on episode 81, it's every man for himself. I overheard a guy say that into his speakerphone in the crowded grocery store during the first hoarding. That's not living. Living in panic mode is not living. I did panic mode for a day or so when this first started because it was new. I was worried for my mother, who's a senior citizen. She lives cross country. But that passed. Now I'm more concerned about making a living and when that will start. I'm definitely more concerned about making a living, getting back to work, getting income, spending time with my friends, going out on a date, than I am about catching the coronavirus. That's just me. Not telling you how to feel. That is me. And I can't be the only one out of a planet of almost 8 billion people. Here's a fact. The odds of you being ruined by these shutdowns, mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, financially, and if you're married, whatever romantically you want to call that, the odds of you being ruined by these shutdowns in those ways are way higher than you catching the virus, let alone dying from it. Fact. And for the weak-minded sheep and lazy that say, well, we'll just have to wait and see after everything that I mentioned here. Not that my word is the end-all be-all. I'm not the only one who's saying these kinds of things. Come on. But if you're after everyone presents logic and common sense to you and science, and you just come back with, well, we just have to wait and see. You didn't have much of a life before quarantine to begin with, did you? Did you? If you are so relaxed about this, and I'm not saying because, oh, I can still make money working from home. Not for that reason. I'm just saying it's like, I'm okay with this. I kind of like this quiet. You didn't have a great life. That's a fact, Jack. Your life sucked. You might want to reevaluate. People got stuff to lose, and if you don't, stay inside after quarantine, because that is less traffic for me on the roads. I'm not saying you have to be shouting from the rooftops or posting anything or even taking any action. Not my call. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I will say if you just think, well, we'll just wait and see, that is the equivalent of whatever, and your life was wasted and was sad before this happened. It says you're in no hurry to go back to whatever it is that you did before. Some of us have goals and things to do and people to be with. Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation. Topic number one. Here are the top five phrases I would be fine with never hearing ever again.
We're all in this together.
Stay home. Stay safe. Wash your hands. And my favorite, we're all in the same boat. Let's break it down. We're all in this together. You know what? I already fucking knew we were all in this together. This thing called life, not the coronavirus, but life. And it's why I wrote the book that I have, and it's why I do this podcast 90 episodes in. Stay home? You stay home. I'll stay home when I don't feel well, just like I did before. The idea that we're seeing public service announcement on TV that literally say, even if you're not sick, stay home, complete with the exclamation point, is beyond ludicrous, and I'm sorry, that is fucking propaganda and brainwashing. If you can't read between the lines, you are purposely ignoring that. And it has that creepy instrumental music that is not even really a music, but more of a hypnotic trance tone, using bright colors. You are being trained. You hear the music? Pavlov's dog, stay home. If you don't see that, it's already worked on you. I noticed it. That public service announcement happened on week one. Stay safe. No shit. I was just about to lick this fork I found on the ground and have sex with this transient hooker. Wash your hands. I always did wash my hands, Mommy. I'm not a fucking moron. Anyone who needs to be told to wash their hands after age, what, 12? Before the quarantine, didn't stand much of a chance of living a long life anyway. And by the way, more proof that we're being manipulated and brainwashed, when I exited the airport, not the airplane, not the gate, not baggage claim, but the entire airport, I am outside in Los Angeles, not, instead of music, the music that normally plays that you hear in the airport, just a repeated mantra, no joke, a mantra repeated over and over again of stay 6 feet away from each other. Wash your hands. Stay 6 feet away from each other. Wash your hands. Stay 6 feet away from each other. Wash your hands. Over and over again. That's not normal, folks. Where am I supposed to wash my hands once I'm outside the airport? And why do you need to tell me that after I've left your business? For what reason? And now my favorite one. We're all in the same boat. We all might be on the same ocean, but we're not all in or on the same boat. Some of us have better boats than others. Some of us have extra crew members to hang out with and work with. Some of us have more money than others to fuel that boat. Some of us have leaky boats. Some of us had our eye on a nicer, bigger boat, but we'll have lost that momentum. Some of us have nice boats, but already are in poor health. So stop with the everyone's in the same bullshit boat. I realize it's just a figure of speech, but is it really? If you're trying to tell me that everyone has it exactly the same, then kindly go fuck yourself. Yes, of course, someone always has it worse. There are some serious tragedies out there, but a lot of us have it better. It's the people who have the large crew, the nice boat, and the ability to work from their boat that don't seem to have the same problems that the people who have opposite situations have. Oh, and some of us don't even like the fucking ocean. Some of us are getting tired of the other crew members even though we are fond of them or loved them before. Some of them wish we had more crew members with us on our little boat. When the shutdown is over, let me tell you what types of article titles I don't want to ever see on the internet. How Americans are adjusting to getting back to work. Just get up, nut up, and get back to work. I don't want to hear about people having anxiety, adjusting to a new schedule, and fighting traffic, and performance anxiety at work. Oh my God. Spending less time with their loved ones. You wanted your business to be open and get back to work, so just do your fucking jobs. Pros will. Amateurs will do what they do best. Play the victim on social media. Returning to work is so hard. Here's a meme of me during quarantine and now after. I can't adjust. I work from home better. Good. Fucking stay there. Topic number two. There's a part of text etiquette that, thanks to quarantine, is now largely ignored. And I'm not saying this didn't happen before quarantine and the shutdowns. It did. But I'm noticing it more now. The other day, I got a text from one of my guy friends in Ohio, and here is the first and only text that I got. Quote, Steve and Jenny are getting a divorce. No follow-up text after that. Hit me back if you want to talk about it or hope all is well with you. How are you handling quarantine? Hope you're okay. Give me something. Oh, I'm fine. Thanks for asking. Oh, me? I'm not doing much, just bleeding out in a hospital or working or exercising or sleeping or stress from being held captive by my governor. Sure, you could argue. Well, then, Lou, just don't reply, which I didn't, and that's not the point. You would never just call someone on the phone. I know. Calling? What are you, insane? Plus, my face would be near the phone. Anyway, you would never call someone on the phone and when they say, hello, respond with, Steve and Jenny are getting a divorce. Let's review a normal start of a phone conversation. I call. It rings. They answer. Hello? I say, hey. If it's someone I'm close to, maybe they recognize my voice. Then maybe some pleasantries. How you doing? What's going on with you? Then especially if it's not necessarily bad news, but in this case, grim news, I'd say, maybe you've heard the bad news about Steve and Jenny, or wasn't sure if you heard about this, and they might infer something by the tone of my voice. But here's what you would not do. Hello, Steve and Jenny are getting a divorce. Click. God, communication blows. Man, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I don't give a shit. We have many problems in the world. And of course, the quarantine has exposed many of those. The political process, the lack of preparedness and healthcare, logistics, people being prepared for things like this, being a good neighbor, trusting the media. But in my humble opinion, all of that falls under the umbrella of bad communication. Without good, reliable, credible, fact-based communication, when it comes to things like logistics, healthcare, the pandemic, evacuation procedures, planning for things just like this, you need concise, trusted media, fact-based, non-biased communication. When it comes to discussing things like this, look, there's always going to be someone with the name calling and you're a liar and I hate you and you make a good point and then you just make fun of your hair, whatever. That's going to happen. But overall, I would say most of society's ills, I'm not going to say it could be solved, but we sure would make a hell of a lot more headway with just better communication. And in case you wonder why we're getting jerked around with the arbitrary state closures, bizarre rules like don't touch a tennis ball, but you can kick it, get on the dry sand, but not the wet, the wet sand, but not the dry sand. I would love to see someone try to hover over the dry sand to touch the wet sand, Gavin Newsom. Don't buy paint. Don't buy carpet. Don't get your hair cut. All these random arbitrary things by our supposedly respected public officials on both sides of the fence when it comes to wearing masks or not. We never get the same two facts 2 days in a row. We don't. We don't. And I get it, we're still learning about this virus. We're new to this. But I would like to think the rules of science still apply. We never get the same information 2 days in a row. And what I'll call my mom in Ohio, hey, did you hear about this? She's like, no, I didn't hear about that. She has TV, I have TV, we both have the internet. I got friends, I'm like, hey, did you hear the CDC says you can't get it from touching surfaces? No, I didn't hear that. Yeah, it's 4 days old, it's 5 days old news. And then the fear mongers, they will look that up and try to find the loophole to make sure that they still get to be afraid. Why are we looking for bad news and the dark side of things? Because you get to play the victim then. You get to play the victim. You get to spread some fear. You get to post a meme. You get to say, look, I found this information. And that's virtue signaling, and it all comes back to you. The attention's on me. I just posted something scary. Look at me. Like my thing. Look at all the likes I got. Oh, now they're following me. I just put out my cigarette here. It's attention whoring. It's obnoxious. It's drama queen shit. It's victim type shit. I talk about it every intro. People are like, Lou, why do you still have the same intro? Because I'm going to do it until people get it. Plus, not to mention it's a trademark, for lack of a better word. We've been conditioned. You know why we never get the same information 2 days in a row? Because we've been conditioned. Yes, here it comes. Social media has made this way worse on many levels. One, because no one has an attention span of over 5 seconds anymore. No one will watch a video or clip. Here, if you had a video that said, in capital letters, the entire planet agrees. The entire planet agrees watching this video will save your life. People will look at that clip and go, 3 minutes? I'm not watching that. No one watches anything over 30 seconds. Clips that just might have non-biased, useful information or at least a different point of view than mainstream media bias. What's the first thing you do when you see a video someone wants you to watch? Check the time on the clip. 3 minutes? Oh, if it doesn't get to the point in 5 seconds, I'm out. People read headlines. Wear masks. Stay home. Alone together. Wash hands. That's all the information they think we can handle. It's all the information amateurs can digest. Two words. 50,000 dead. Okay. A pro will say, all right, how many died of the virus for real? Right? We know those numbers are exaggerated, falsified. And how many of those people that died had heart disease, underlying health conditions, were obese, elderly, worked around other infected people? How do we know the numbers are accurate, not inflated or exaggerated? And why am I a bad guy for asking questions? What, you don't think there's amateurs in the healthcare industry? The police department, the fire department, the government, finance, the pizza delivery guy, your podcast hosts? We assume that anyone in those, quote, essential jobs, which I hate using that word, are saints. They're all born in Bethlehem all of a sudden. They've never done anything wrong. They don't have ulterior motives. They're not just accidentally taking the wrong box because they're fucking tired working an 18-hour shift 7 days in a row without any time off. People make mistakes. You're just going to go, oh, 50,000? How many died today? That's all I need to know. I've actually had friends say, hey man, all I need to know is 2,000 more people died. Oh, I would like to sell you some real estate that I do not own if that's all you need to know. Way to read the fine print. Wow. Wow. People say that often. All I need to know is the number. Why aren't you panicking when people die of cancer? Oh, I get it, because cancer is not transmitted through human contact. Yeah, but more people die of it. Isn't that all you need to know? We get cancer from a jillion things. Additives, preservatives, secondhand smoke, pollution. I mean, how many times do you enter a commercial building and see that creepy sign saying parts of this building are made out of materials that have been known to cause cancer? We walk right the fuck in. You know why? Because we got to live our lives. Skin cancer. The sun. Skin cancer. All of a sudden, we realize we're mortal. Guess what? We always have been. This doesn't mean I don't think the coronavirus isn't serious. I just think we're just focusing on this so much and so incorrectly and illogically and lacking common sense that it's ruining us in every sense, socially, financially, mentally, sexually, add L-Y to whatever, it's fucking it up. Because of the knee-jerk reactions, because I'm afraid. People read those headlines, two syllables, that's all they need. How many, I'm a bad guy for asking these questions. I'm a bad guy for asking these questions, really? That's your argument? If you're going to cancel my life for 6 months, which in California, that's what it will have been, I think I'm entitled to ask a fucking question. I'm entitled to answers if you cancel my life for 1 day. And you are too. Secondly, social media is anything but social. That's right, this rant was about social media and how it's destroyed handling the pandemic, the quarantine, the shutdowns. Social media is the opposite of social. People think social means communication. I'm not socializing with you on the phone. I'm talking with you on the phone. Socializing, by definition, is face-to-face. Social media is not, and plus social media involves more than one person. And it involves and is about more than one person. A group. You could argue a group is two or three or more, whatever. But social media is about, look at my cat, my dog, my abs, my tits, my ass, my car, my biceps, my vacation, my dinner. Sure, you see the occasional group photo, but usually it's look at me and what I'm doing or did or ate or flexed. The Instagram feeds featuring community gatherings just don't seem to get hits. Tits get hits. The Twitter comments about the fundraisers, group recognitions for veterans, photos for causes and for charities don't get the retweets, hostile comments, and controversial hashtags that the others do. But we love the bizarre, the perverse, the easily digested. Social media has replaced real face-to-face communication rather than supplement it, and amateurs either won't admit it or they realize they lost the skills needed to communicate. So staying inside, playing with their phones, hiding behind posts, and posts of them wearing masks, yet a double hiding, is right up their alley. That they can do. They claim to want to be in public, but really, this is not only safe physically, it's safe for them mentally. And they wonder why they're depressed and why I often mention this is the victim era. The powers that be that are barking the orders right now and just inundating you with various information and switching it up, and not to mention fake information, false information, reckless information, and silly illogical information, are laughing their asses off at how much easier this is than they thought it would be. And then they inundate us with a reminder of safety and caring. That stupid car company, Carvana, where you can purchase a car online that I talked about on my podcast and in my book, you know, there's their slogan used to be, the better way to buy a car. Which it isn't, by the way. It's the second most important purchase of your life and costly purchase of your life unless you buy a boat. And you're not going to sit in it, see if it feels good on your butt. The ergonomics, you're not going to reach for the steering wheel, test all the buttons, check its giddy up, check its brakes, its handling, its gas mileage, how quiet it is, the stereo, the air conditioning, the style of it, the color. If it just suits you, that's not the better way to buy a car, but I digress. Carvana has now, all of a sudden, changed their slogan to the safe way to buy a car. Because the old way was dangerous. You'd have to touch it. You just didn't know that it was dangerous back then. Oh, it was. You would have had to talk to a person, maybe shake the sales guy's hand. He's going to hand you that pen to sign the documents. Then the germs on that pen? Are you kidding me? So you buy this car on Carvana during quarantine after how many days and counting now? You're buying this car with the money you haven't been making and wonder why your credit is destroyed, paying for a car you never test drove or like or sat in. Don't worry, Carvana gives you a full 7 days to return it. Fantastic. And now the depreciation is gone for the next sucker. Topic number three. The other day, this is what I talked about earlier, I posted on Facebook. And this is it. This is the entire post. we're going to be left with nothing but shitty chain restaurants. And of course, the short-sighted amateurs come out swinging. People are dying! And you're worried about restaurants and going out to eat? So apparently, until zero people have contracted and or died from coronavirus, nothing else matters. Let's just bask in death that has a 0.00008% chance of killing me in California. We cannot talk about anything else. We can't enjoy ourselves because that will make us selfish. We can't allude to the real normal ever again. And if you're that short-sighted about my comment saying we're going to be left with nothing but shitty chain restaurants like the Olive Garden and Denny's, it's not about going out to eat, you nitwits. It's about businesses and the local businessman, the local mom and pop, family-owned, independently owned businesses, going out of business for good, losing that sense of community and our neighbors. Remember neighbors? People don't care that Pier 1 has closed all of its locations. They had over like 900 locations. They cut that down to over 500 to save some capital, to save themselves from going bankrupt. And then this hit, so they're like, you know what? Fuck it. We're done. I mean, look, I don't shop there. I haven't since I was in my 20s, but I know people like their stuff. I know its employees probably enjoyed getting paychecks from there. Amateurs won't be and aren't happy until everyone is in the same boat of misery. There's a right way and a wrong way to complain. I feel I do it the right way, with logic and common sense condensed into this podcast and through humor. I'm not like this 24/7. Don't get me started, but last weekend, Memorial Day weekend, I met with two of my buddies. We threw the softball around in the park. Sadly, we still talked about the coronavirus. I was hoping to have 90 minutes without talking about it, but it was really good to see these guys. I went to a friend's drive-by birthday party honking thing for an adorable little 4-year-old girl. Right? There's the right way and the wrong way. The wrong way, just spouting off stats without going behind the numbers, making fun of the president's appearance, which is always helpful and relevant, and not to mention, I didn't know any president has to be a supermodel. Would you want that job? Monday morning quarterback? Brian Regan, one of the greatest comedians of all time, one of my favorite jokes, he goes, I can't understand why anyone would want to be president. Like your alarm clock goes off, and as soon as it goes off, your first thought is problems. So many problems, right? Announcing said stats as a way to garner attention, gasps, furrowed brows, and concerned murmurs. I get accused all the time of being negative. First of all, that's where comedy comes from. Jay Leno always said, no one wants to hear a comedian say, man, I sure am getting laid a lot, making a lot of money. But amateurs, They don't just tell the bad news, they bask in it. They rub it all over their bodies, right? They do, they just rub it all over their bodies. Rather than work on it, manage it, fix it, and possibly end it, well, where's the attention and concern in that? Fine, I'll repeat it again. Be concerned, but this should not be running, controlling, and changing our lives, at least not this drastically and for this long. This is going to be over, and you're like, man, I wasted a fuck ton of my life. I could have been making money. And I know you're like, well, I get to spend more time with my family. Great. But at what cost? People are dying. Way more people are dying of cancer, car accidents, strokes, household falls, crime, alcoholism, suicide, especially now, drug abuse. And as I said last week, death is crushing it. It's undefeated. It's batting 1,000. The idea that you think because I don't want to wear a mask and that social distancing is pointless and I don't need to be told to wash my hands for some reason, I'm licking everything, coughing on people directly, dry humping everyone and having never bathed. Now all of a sudden, I guess Lou Santini has no regard for human life. Masks have less to do with health because there is no undeniable, quantifiable evidence that masks help. It is merely a visual reminder that things are bad and you should be scared. My opinion. Show me science. Tell me what percentage of germs don't enter the mask. And what does that mask need to be made of? Exactly. I don't want to see macrame masks and masks made out of your bandana. And, oh, I forgot to mention this too, by the way. No lie, on one of my flights, I believe it was from Houston to Cleveland, the guy in front of me didn't have a mask with him. He took a sock out of his carry-on bag, pulled out his shoelace, ran his shoelace through his sock, and he has I would hope it was a clean sock from his suitcase, tied a sock around his head with a shoelace around his mouth. That was his mask. Oh, I'm sure you're totally safe, dude. And on top of those stats, I also want to see the negative sides of what wearing a mask all the time does. Last time I checked, you can't just have your mouth in a paper bag all day. You'll fucking pass out. And I see people running with them on in the heat. Not to mention, how many times do you reach up and touch your face to pull it down and pull it back up? How often should you get a new mask? How about the germs on the outside of the mask? I need science, not supposition. I need numbers. I like to go inside the numbers. I need proof by credible people without bias. Driving their cars with them. I know it's not over your eyes. You can't tell me that people don't drive shittier wearing masks on. It fucks up your peripheral vision, and it gives you like this false sense of security. You know how many times I've almost been hit by a car on my motorcycle since this started? People pulling out of parking spots, not looking. Well, I got my mask on. That should do it. If there was a school shooting, that's what people would be talking about right now. Amateurs. What's the latest horrible? Let's talk about that, and here's my stance. Choose a side. An abortion clinic was bombed? Let's talk about abortion and women's rights. The election was hijacked by Obama's administration? You're either on this team or on this team. Until something bad happens, many, not all, but many people never mention these topics or have anything of value to contribute. Frankly, in my opinion, our United States government should never be the main topic of a conversation, ever. Here's why. The government should be like a skilled server at a restaurant. Does the job quietly, professionally, without any interference, but is still appreciated because they're skilled, credible, and responsible and trustworthy. Instead, we as U.S. citizens have to micromanage, babysit, hover, and complain, and tweet, and post things about our government, as is our right, of course, with little recourse to change them except for voting. We rarely fire anyone midstream. The new abnormal is doing exactly what you're told without question, applauding those you are told to applaud, standing where you're supposed to stand, wearing your mask, and staying home. That makes you a good person, a model citizen, and now you care about me and mankind. I would like to extend a heartfelt thanks to all the amateurs who stayed home that I'll never meet. Thank you for saving my life. I don't know how I'll ever repay you. You always hear veterans say the same, well, he saved my life in battle. I'll assume every person who stayed home saved my life. I'd hug you in appreciation, but I don't want to murder you. Time now for 120 seconds, some random neural firing. Start the timer. You know, I just saw a commercial for an animated movie called Scoob, as in Scooby-Doo, and it's rated PG. How is that possible? Is Daphne finally having a topless scene or what? Someone needs to check Emperor Newsom's scalp for the mark. Michigan. Proof that it could always be worse. If 2020 was an object, it would be a paper straw. It's weak, it's overhyped, it falls apart and fails to deliver, and what's more, wouldn't it suck if literally the last straw was a paper straw? Come to think of it, it would not suck, literally, because paper straws do not work. Pre-pandemic, the average person washed their hands 10 times a day. Now, at 20 seconds per wash, I washed my hands for 100 straight minutes today, so I'm good for the month. This has gone from about saving lives to taking lives. I used to wonder if I'd ever meet Mrs. Wright. Then, thanks to the quarantine, I wondered if I'd ever see a boob in real life ever again. Now, a handshake will get it done. And during the pandemic, God, these new age fucks always telling me to breathe, especially in cursive. And relax, everyone, just because you finally admit your government is jerking you around doesn't necessarily mean you are Republican. This whole essential and non-essential workers crap is really screwing up who buys what, how much, and where, and also who doesn't buy what, doesn't it? I guess capitalism takes all kinds of buyers and sellers and workers. Face masks, condoms for your head. Except condoms work most of the time, and you look less stupid with one on. And I wear them because I want to, not because experts or the government says I should or everyone else is wearing them. Plus, condoms aren't fashion, and I can still breathe and do my job. And I can't make them myself at home. And I'm less embarrassed to wear a condom or to buy one. And lastly, One promise I've made to myself is this. Once this is over, I will be ordering things online very minimally, only when it's absolutely necessary or if it's impossible to get in a brick-and-mortar store. I've determined that nothing bad will come from that. I'll be around people. I might meet some new friends. I might meet a nice woman. I will support local businesses, and I'll probably spend less. No downside. What? You're wasting gas. Not wasting gas. It's not a waste. I will also try to use cash rather than a credit card or even a debit card. Less tracking, less spam emails, less time wasted, more people, less tech. Time now for three pro things, three things that are done right. Number one. From NHRA.com, an article from Fox Sports announcer for the NHRA, Brian Lones, called The 10 Most Interesting People I Have Met in Drag Racing. Now, as I said, in my opinion, car folk are the best folk. Salt of the earth, they're risk takers, they're friendly, they're proud but humble, they're family folks, they're hardworking, and they're always full of life lessons. Now, I'm not going to ruin the article by listing his entire top 10 or tell you what his number one was, but I will tell you one. Joe Amato. And the subtitle is A Scrappy, Suave, Fun, Five-Time World Top Fuel Champion. The article says, you're never supposed to meet your heroes, they say. None of them ever met Joe Amato, a Top Fuel and business colossus who was one of the most fun guys you ever hang out with. Amato is fascinating. He bootstrapped a small family company into a cornerstone of the automotive aftermarket after leaving school at the age of 16. Decades later, he sold the company for nine figures. He raced with a kind of East Coast swagger that made him my favorite driver as a kid, and as I have come to know him as an adult, he's as genuine and real as any drag racer I've ever met. Success changes people, but not people named Joe Amato. Joe Cool truly is. Yeah, I wonder if Joe Amato thinks he should just stay home. He doesn't have anything to lose or live for, does he? Number two. A movie pick, and I'm so happy I stumbled upon this. It's called A Futile and Stupid Gesture. It's on Netflix. Growing up, I subscribed to two magazines, Mad Magazine and Consumer Reports. This explains why I was a virgin all through high school. But a magazine that I bought but wouldn't subscribe to was National Lampoon, because I didn't want my parents to find out. It was clever, irreverent, bawdy, controversial, and sometimes in your face. National Lampoon ate everyone's lunch, unapologetically. Now, this movie with an all-star cast is simply the story of the writer of National Lampoon, the editor, Doug Kenny, who co-founded National Lampoon magazine in 1970. It's a fun movie to watch the creative types do their creating with plenty of struggle and poignancy to balance out the story. I love me some true stories, especially about comedy and art. Even if you never read National Lampoon or saw Animal House or Caddyshack, you'll appreciate how the National Lampoon magazine really contributed to the comedy landscape for decades, i.e. Saturday Night Live. Number three. It's me, a parody song that I wrote and composed called We Want L.A. I realize this podcast has a worldwide audience, but this is not only for the people of Los Angeles, but as I say in the video, for every city in California, every city and state in the United States that's being shut down arbitrarily without common sense or logic. It's a parody song of Randy Newman's 1983 classic, I Love LA, in regards to California's extended shutdown and quarantine mandates. And sincere apologies to Mr. Newman for my singing. You can watch it on YouTube. It's called We Want LA. I won't tell you to share it or like it or comment. You're an adult. You get to choose. All right, so go to Amazon. Check out my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills, where the book is on sale at 45% off until the nationwide quarantine is lifted. Email me, lou@lousantini.com, or you can call the Amateur Nation hotline, 818-351-9263, for your comments and questions, and subscribe to my YouTube page. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.